rather than me preaching to you, because we've all been a little cooped up this week, right? So rather than me preaching to you, I am going to let these profound, remarkable words preach to us. I'm going to invite you to listen with the ears of your heart as I read this passage. Usually we listen with the ears of our heads, our minds, with our own preconceived notions, with our own worries, our concerns, our fears. Today, I want to invite you to listen with the ears of your heart so that God can set the agenda, so God can invite the topic for discussion. So I want you all to get comfortable where you are. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes or do whatever you might need to do to get all the visuals here and other externals out of the way. I want you to take a moment and reflect on your gifts. Gifts that were graced to you by the Spirit. You might have artistic gifts, or you might have musical gifts. Maybe you have a gift for listening, or a gift for teaching. Some of us might have gifts for praying. Reflect on these gifts and the ways that you share them with the body. Reflect on the gifts that you see shared by others in this body. And then as I read to you the words from 1 Corinthians 13, listen with the ears of your heart. Listen for words that resonate. Words that continue to vibrate like the ringing of the bells. Words that challenge. Maybe words that give you hope. Listen for the still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. So now, another invitation. Turn to two people near you. Two, faith, hope, and love. If you see someone who's maybe on their own, go to them. Don't make them come to you. And take a few minutes. We're going to take just a few minutes and share the word or the words that came to you, either as a challenge, as an offer of hope, or whatever. Maybe you don't even know, but share the word or words that came to you, that spoke to you, and then make sure everybody gets a chance to share the words in your circle. So take a few minutes. If you need to get up, go ahead, but turn to two people next to you and share the words that spoke to you. Oh, you get the ministers? Okay, do you want both of us? Oh, I'm still on. Sit. Thank you. All right. All right. So normally, when something new is tried, you will hear that caveat, don't try this at home. I'm going to invite you to try this at home. Really, you can do it on your own. Read a passage of scripture slowly and let the words rise up and speak to you and sit with those words in prayerful ways. You can do this on your own at home. I had a nun who taught a course for me on spiritual practices and disciplines, and she said it takes 6 weeks to develop a habit. So if you'd like to cultivate a habit of, this was called Lectio Divina, but any type of practice, spiritual devotional practice, you got to give yourself 6 weeks to develop that habit, and probably a little bit longer. I've been doing it for 25 years and still waver in and out. So I want to also offer an opportunity, if any of you want to just kind of spontaneously share the words that came up in your groups. We're not going to like go into long diatribes, but does anybody have words that come up?
Mine was the word mirror, seeing in a
mirror.
Mirror dimly and
yeah.
Seeing fully.
Yeah.
And that
mirror.
Gives me such hope.
Yeah.
For the life to come.
The mirror, yeah. If you're like me, usually it's after the fact. Darn it, love is supposed to be patient. Yeah, I don't mean to make light, but yeah, that's our, it is, yeah, as parents, you think. Yeah, because you also, it's patient with yourself too, right? Yeah. Melissa. We spoke of abide. Kyle and I both mentioned that as a word, or I guess me in particular, but you riffed on it with me. And abide is something to me that runs deep. It's not just something I do externally. And when love abides, it's like in my bones, way down in my bones. I think I saw Brian's hand up. Do you have a word? Own way, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even when it's right.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just share with you all a few closing thoughts here. I hope that experiencing these really familiar words, rather than just hearing them or reading them, but experiencing these really familiar words in this context of the varieties of gifts that build up the body of Christ. I hope hearing these words about love reminds us that Paul is not writing about romantic love that originates in one person and is directed towards another. This is not happily ever after love. Paul is writing about love that originates in God and claims us, and then through us reaches out to others to provide for and to complete the body of Christ. This is the love that provides for and completes the body of Christ. Now, this means that even though love is meant to bear all things, endure all things, it does not mean we bear abuse or exploitation or injustice. Because this love is love from God that is meant for the flourishing of community. And a flourishing community does not include abuse or injustice. So accountability is part of this love. Now, lastly, this Sunday, in just a few moments, we are going to install the leaders for the church for the coming year, the people who have stepped forward for leadership positions. And for that, I was particularly struck as I reflected in my head, I was particularly struck with verse 8 that says, love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Love never ends. So I inserted in there, as for our ministries, they will come to an end. Right? They'll come to an end. Just as prophecies and knowledge and tongues come to an end. But the love that is planted in our ministries, the love that is planted in our ministries is what abides. That is the fruits of our ministry. If we are doing our job, the love will never end. So most commentators say that chapter 13 should end with the first line of verse 14. So I will conclude us with this. Pursue love. Pursue love. And strive for the spiritual gifts. Let us sing together.